I pray to encourage their hearts through the abundance that you'll bring through their giving tonight. Give you the praise and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
On Sunday nights, as you know, we are taking a look at some of the different very key principles of the local church. And tonight, I'm just going to take a moment on the Lord's table, which is a very important part. We'll look at some of this a little bit more in depth about the two ordinances. In these uncertain days, we need to know what a local church is. And we've looked at the fact that the church is guaranteed by God that the gates of hell will not prevail and that he will build his church. We've seen the fact that the church is built on the reality, the sola scriptura. It's only the word of God. And we need to be a New Testament church. looked at other things. And now if you'll turn with me to the passage that I quote from when we do the Lord's table, and I will do that again here this evening in just a couple of minutes, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This was given also directly by the Lord Jesus, but this was given to the Apostle Paul later as the Lord met with him. And he gives this as a very major corrective to this church. And that's why I like to use this, because this was given specifically as to the key reality of the Lord's table. The Lord's table had been taken lightly. It had become a potluck dinner, and everybody was fending for themselves, and all kinds of division was going on. And so you get right down to the heart of what the table of the Lord is all about. But before we get there, as you think of the presentation of the table of the Lord, it is very interesting that one of the disciples was not there. His name was Judas Iscariot. And we have given by the Lord Jesus, as they were there celebrating the Passover meal, the announcement of the betrayal by Judas Iscariot. You can imagine John 13:21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." This brings you back to the prophecy of this from Psalm 41:9. "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." The thing we need to understand is that God is a person. Jesus Christ is both divine and human, but you see the personhood of God through the humanity of his personhood. And he was grieved. He had this relationship with Judas. And of course, he was spiritually grieved because of what that meant for Judas's life. The Lord had just shown great humility in washing the disciples' feet. You find there in John chapter 13. And everyone's deeply disturbed about this. And I just wanted to bring this up. This happens, of course, at the Passover meal. And there was an opportunity for Judas to repent. Now, this is not a direct parallel that can be used exactly for us as believers within a local church. For Judas, in my opinion, was not saved. He was called the son of perdition. I believe he will suffer in hell, which is a tragic thing. But I do want to say, as we think of the Lord's table, and especially as 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about the church having the wrong attitude, you find some very strong words from the Lord through Paul after the key aspects of the Lord's Supper are given. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That's why he says, "For this cause, many of you are weak and sickly, they're sickly among you, and many sleep. Some have died because of this. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Pretty strong language, isn't it? And I think we need to understand the table of the Lord is not a sacrament. It is not a means of grace. It is a time of remembrance, but it is all about our divine Savior. And as we've had the opportunity to pray together, you get a taste of the uniqueness of the unity of the local church around Jesus Christ and how he is lifted up by the Spirit of God. And sin within the body becomes a more and more abhorrent thing. It's that which keeps back the great joy of a church, the great refreshing blessing of a church, the wonderful fellowship of a church, and all of the carnality today and the worldliness that has been in our churches has made church more a duty and a place to come to out of responsibility than the joy that God wants it to be, fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. And so you find a very strong aspect here. And of course, Judas was not a carnal Christian. He was unsaved. But the Lord wasn't going to have the table of the Lord with him there. Very interesting. But he did get an opportunity to repent. The Lord Jesus told them that the one that he would give the sop to was the one, and they still didn't get it. But I'll tell you, one man did, and that was Judas. And when Jesus' eyes locked with Judas's eyes, I'm sure there was compassion, entreaty. And what a moment that was. How do I know that? Because after he betrayed him, he went back, gave the money back, and hung himself. Tragic. But he was under conviction. And let me say to all of us, one of the things, and this again is not an exact parallel, but one of the things about the Lord's table, and that's why it's wonderful to have prayer, is the fact that the Lord's table is an opportunity for us to get right. How can we think of who he is and what he has done and hold on to sin? And you've heard me say this many times at the table of the Lord, but friends, the solution is not for you to sit there and not take it. That is a tragedy. That doesn't impress God one bit. As you see the plague coming, your heart ought to be broken and you cry out, Lord, forgive me. That's what ought to be done. You see, the table is to bond the people of God together and to bring us into a spiritual unity, and that can only happen when each of us are right with God. And that's the beauty of the local church. This, of course, was a fulfillment of prophecy. And Judas was responsible, though, for his action. And it's tragic when you read Luke 22:3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And I won't go any further into that, but it is one of the tragic stories. But you know, it's tragic for God's people not to let God use the things that he has given to us to continue to keep us right with God. You know, he's given us so many things. Folks, we can live right with God 7 days a week. Isn't that neat? In fact, we can abide in Christ moment by moment, day by day. We can have much fruit on a regular basis. Some of that was prayed here today. And it's really true. We ought to be living in victory, surprised by defeat. But I think most Christians are living defeated, surprised when they have victory. And then they lose it. And God wants us to have that. And one of the things he's given to us is this time that we meet together. Whenever the church meets together, it ought to get us under conviction. We ought not even need the preaching. Because the unity of the brethren, as we think of the great cause of furthering the cause of Christ in this world, ought to so dominate us that how can we hold on to sin? Well, then we just look at the institution of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to say just a word about it because we'll talk about it as I go through this in just a minute. But the Passover meal, of course, is what was going on. It was still in progress. They were using food from the table there. And isn't that a beautiful picture? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The great deliverance of Israel from the world. It's just, you can preach a series just on the Passover meal and how it's beautiful that the Lord's Supper came right out of that. And you have the breaking of the bread, which we will acknowledge tonight. And the reality here, folks, is that this really points to the fact there was a body that suffered. We get so used to talking about it, we really need to understand that those women and John the Apostle stood there at the foot of the cross and saw horrific things happen to our Savior. Now, his bones were not broken, according to prophecy fulfilled, but his body was torn up. In fact, you cannot, as Isaiah 53 prophesied, you couldn't recognize him. And we've got to understand that when he hung on the cross, it is a picture to all of us of what God thinks about sin. Friends, God's holy, he's just, and we know how loving and merciful he is, but he will not tolerate sin. And Jesus was going to take our place, and he was not going to tolerate sin in Jesus Christ. And he paid for it for all of us. And so, and by the way, I'm not going to go into a treatise on it, but the Lord over and over used imagery, and he said, you know, this is my body. They knew exactly what he was talking about. This is representing, or they would especially afterwards know. He said, I am the door. He didn't say he was a door, you know. He talked about other things that he clearly was. He talked about them eating his flesh and drinking his blood, you know. I mean, the disciples did not take that as literal. But anyway, then you have the matter of the cup. And this is the third cup of the Passover, the cup of blessing. And this concluded the eating of the meal. And we'll see in verse 25, I always quote, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, drink ye all of it. So the cup was passed around the table. One little thought here, there was no leaven in it because it was the perfect pure blood, picture of the perfect pure blood of Jesus Christ. It was not alcoholic, could not be with the picture. And so that's why we talk about the juice, not the wine, because of the mix-up of the English language in that aspect. But the point is, his blood was poured out for us. And so this was instituted, and this is what I want to end with. I didn't read the whole thing because I'll get to it here. But verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We are to be doing this till he comes. Go back up to verse 25. As oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That wasn't a little statement that Jesus made. He said, I want you to remember me. Let me ask you just honestly. Do we humanly forget Jesus? Do we? The answer is yes. He knew that. That's why we were gathered together as the body of Christ. But this needs to be a time, folks, that we really reflect on the fact there was a real death on that cross. And if you're a believer here, that horrendous death should have been yours and mine, but it will never be. My sins are as far as the east is from the west. You have the righteousness of Christ. Your sins are removed. You are born again. Isn't that wonderful? The very righteousness of Christ. When God the Father sees you, you're perfect in Christ. And so, we've got to get a hold of it. He did that for you. He did that for me. And it was real. And I want to tell you, in his omniscient mind, he thought about you. He thought about you. So it's time we think about him, don't you think? And he's still ever living to make intercession for us. He is the mediator between God and man. We pray through Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God led us to pray today, and as I mentioned earlier, the Savior spoke to the Father about what we were talking about. And I tell you what, the Savior and the Father are one in their heart, and we will see things happen. But my point here is, folks, part of the key to meeting together, churches must have the Lord's table, but the Lord's table cannot be a ritual. It's got to be a time in which we get broken before God. We do not allow sin. We cannot have disciplined sin within our church. That needs to be dealt with, and we cannot, as Christians, take lightly coming in and having the table of the Lord. This ought to be a revival move every time we have it. It really should. And I tell you, the American church is far, far from it. I've mentioned I've been in during the Soviet Union time, and I just was struck as an American. They would have the Lord's table, and I've never seen such serious observance. And they're crying with joy. Of course, they're doing this without the authority of the government. Now, we're sitting on very difficult to sit on benches for hours on end, but they would be praying and they would be rejoicing in the table of the Lord for a long time. And I begin to realize that was real to those people. Jesus was real. And may Jesus be real. This ordinance, folks, is not a small matter. Is baptism a small matter? No, that's a key step of obedience. This is an important step of obedience for the local church. All right, let's bow for prayer. Let me just, as we bow before the Lord, God's been dealing with us. And I just want to encourage you in just a moment. We will have I'll have an invitation moment with the piano playing. But I really want to encourage you tonight, as our hearts are soft before the Lord. If there's something you know you still need to get right, there is so much that God dealt with us about in these days. But folks, we of all times, when Jesus met with us today, we cannot take this lightly. And so I do want to encourage you to come and just take a moment and pray and let God really, he'll give you immediately a clean heart, but let's be fully right with God. So let's stand, have the piano play. If God's working in your heart, be honest and humble, and let's make sure we're fully 100%, as best we know how, right with God here this evening. Any kind of stirring in your soul, I encourage you, just be honest with the Lord right now. Take a moment. Let's get that right. I thank God so many things have been gotten right today.